Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, oh, what a pleasure it will be to worship him forever and ever. Oh, with a body like unto his own glorious body. Lord, and we're groaning today. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the love. Lord, thank you for the love. And here we are, we're gathered, Lord, anticipating your feeding. But Lord, anticipating your coming. And Jesus, we know that this could be the moment. This could be the moment today. Thank you right now. Face to face, face to face, face to face. Oh, Lord, thank you. Lord, let it be more real every moment. Let it be more anticipated. God, the joy, the joy, the joy, the full joy fellowship face to face. Oh, it's coming soon. Oh, honey, I'm coming soon. We hear you. We hear you. Your sheep know your voice. Thank you. Entune our hearts today. Lord, by the power of your might, the wonderful Spirit of truth, God, the shedder of all love abroad in us, in Jesus' name, pour it on. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we'll begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And thanking God for, you know, he does. You talk about the transformation of the sons of God from glory to glory. Well, let's move into the mother lode today. What do you think? Amen. Reading from verse 1, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory." This is the sweet Apostle Paul. "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ." He is speaking of himself. "Above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth." I think many here are beginning to understand that, aren't we? Praise God. I don't know where I am today. Hallelujah. "Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities." I'm not going to glory, but in my infirmities. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That means to receive a blow with a fist, threat with violence, lest I should be exalted above measure. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me, this thorn. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Now, I know none of you feel this way, but I'm going to testify. I felt many times like the devil was just beating up on me. I see some people nodding their heads. So you have that experience, do you? Has the devil been roughing you up? Where are you praising the Lord? With what we read here, we should be praising the Lord. Amen? If the devil's leaving you alone, he don't have anything to beat you up for, does he? But God knows what we need. And we just read here, praise be to God, that it's God's divine grace that he allows this buffeting to happen, this messenger of Satan to come to keep you in a place where Christ only is exalted. Now, all I can say is how perfect is our Lord. How perfect he is. And we only see that perfection in the truth, don't we? Because when we look outside the truth, it's all coming apart. But see, by him, it all holds together. As fragile as we are. But yet, in that weakness where he is made strong, there's nothing that can stand against that. But we see here this divine perfection of God that orders and arranges every appointment of our lives. I love that brother that said, count it all joy when you are in manifold temptations. I'm sure when he said that, they tried to put him away. Don't let him speak at church anymore. He scares us. Truth always scares children. But this is for those that can take the strong meat. This is for the soldiers that are the good ones that endure hardness. Amen? See, brothers and sisters, he protects his truth in us, doesn't he? And he protects his truth by giving grace to the humble. And let's never forget this. It is his grace. It is his grace. It is his grace. It is his grace that keeps you humble. And we're reading today exactly how he does it. That grace is the Lord using a messenger of Satan to beat you, to injure you, to keep you. And I'm speaking by the grace of God, us bridal saints who have received such great revelation. Amen? Let me tell you something. When you're talking about receiving the revelation of ruling and reigning with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, you think that's a great revelation? You think that God knows that you can't just handle that within you? And so what he divinely does because of that revelation of knowledge, he's going to send that messenger of Satan to buffet you, to injure you, to beat you, to keep you, praise God, to keep me from being puffed up. I'm so privileged to come into a place that I truly see the humility of God. I see a lot of bended knee in here. It's only this marvelous, wonderful grace. Oh, we're thankful for what we know. We're so thankful for what we have. But we understand it's all because of the grace of God that is with us. We come in these glorious princes and kings to be, bowing before very God of very God. I feel him touch me. Now, remember when Jesus told Peter, son, the devil is going to sift you like wheat. Just a matter of fact, Jesus wasn't alarmed. Peter was saying some really dumb stuff. Matter of fact, though, it wasn't just dumb. It was vile because it was self-righteous. People could say that, oh, well, that was a good thing that he could say. He was stating his faithfulness, his devotion to God. I state any of our faithfulness and devotion, it's because of the grace of God that is with us. It's nothing that lies within us but Christ. Amen? All the grace of God. But this was Peter, and this was in Peter's strength. And the Lord told him very sweetly and very matter-of-factly, Peter, the devil is going to sift you like wheat. Now, we've spoken of this. Jesus could do anything. Jesus said, I could call 10,000 angels. I could stop this thing like that. You know I could. But we want the perfect will of my Father to go forth. All right? So he could have stopped and prevented. Now, Peter, this is going to happen. We're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to stop that right now because we're just not going to allow that to happen because it's going to be such a failure. It's going to be such an embarrassment that you're going to go out there and deny me three times. How wicked that is. But Jesus didn't stop it, did he? Oh, no, he didn't. Matter of fact, it's the Word of God. Think about what we're reading here. This was the Word of God, sovereign, divine. The Word that always was. The Word that was not going to change. That was not going to change for Peter one bit. What's being written in your life? Something that Jesus is writing, amen? The author and finisher of our what? Faith. So what's he writing in there? The Word of God. That Word of God is being written the same way. Praise the Lord. Now, he's all-knowing, all right? I'm trusting him to fully pen, fully finished in my life. Praise God. That's why we're here. This is what we hear. And we know by the grace of God, he says, you feed on this, that's what you'll grow up to be. That's why the strong meat is required to rule and reign. It can't be milk. Milk doesn't produce that. That we can finally receive what Brother Hill would say over and over and over and over and over again. That farmer, you want beans? You plant beans. If I want beans, I don't plant lettuce. If I want corn, I plant corn. I don't plant another seed to get that. Right? You want the crown? You plant Paul's strong meat. That's it. You want a palm? You'll plant milk. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. Let me tell you something. Glory that we could never even imagine to be a palm waver. But we have glory exceeding this grace so hyper-palombaro, that's grace exceeding, exceeding, exceeding beyond infinity. That I'm in the midst of the throne with him, ruling and reigning. So, he told Peter, devil's going to sift you like wheat. And he knew what Peter needed, and specifically what Peter needed, you know what? To deal with this self-righteous problem that seemed to plague Peter, matter of fact, for most of his life. Peter, what he needed, what God was sending, it's my grace, son. And I believe that for every one of our thorns, without a doubt, it's always pointing back to, it's my grace. Whatever the thorn is, think about that. No matter what it is. If it's a self-righteousness problem, and I'm telling you one way, shape, or form, we've all been in that one. And we might be battling it. And don't think that you're over it. Because this flesh will gravitate to it, but for this wondrous word. But see, what he was saying here was, Peter, honey, you better love my grace. And Peter did. He had bouts with this over and over and over. Self-righteousness seemed to be that thorn that was always with that precious brother, but how magnificently God used it to minister to Peter and through Peter. I believe this is the one that God used to pin 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord had us put that on those steps some 15 years ago. Grow in grace. That was Peter. One of the most glorious verses we have in the Word of God that encourages us on and on all the time. That we understand without grace you can't grow. You want to grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You're going to grow in grace. That's the only way. You want glory? It's grace. Praise God, it's all His marvelous grace. So what is the difference between a one like a Peter, who won? And Peter did win. He's going to rule on one of those 12 thrones over the 12 tribes. That's his place. He won that place. But then you have one like Demas. And Demas lost. And Demas had a thorn. It was the world. And it was a thorn. But what was the difference? Why did the lust of the world thorn that was in Demas, why did he lose? The difference was staying it with and in the truth. That's the difference. We all have thorns. Praise God. And some of them are not coming out. Praise God. You want them to. I know those things I want out. But I thank God I'm understanding more and more. It's the glory of God that rests upon me because of them. It's His divine way to keep Jesse lowly, to keep me from being lifted up, whether it's in my eyes or your eyes. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for that. But see, the difference between those two brothers, they both had a thorn, but one stayed in and with the Word of God, and the other one departed from it. See, we can either let the thorns perfect us in grace or allow the thorn to consume us and we depart from the truth. And that's the truth. That is the truth. That victory is there for every child of God. Always. My brethren that don't fellowship in this truth any longer, that have been in here, they've got a thorn. They've got a thorn that they let consume them, that took them away from the truth. Now that same thorn that the Lord gave, praise God, could be the most glorious and wondrous victory for their life and this wonderful family of God. To watch that life with that thorn be restored, and ye that are spiritual, restore, amen? Because I'm looking out here today, and you know what I see? I see a bunch of thorns, and they're glorious, and without them, you couldn't wear that crown. And I'm going to tell you something, praise be to God, I choose the truth. Oh, I was thanking the Lord this week. I choose the truth. By the grace of God, I choose the truth. And that my thorns will magnify Him. And I thank God, I sure won't be lifted up by me. Now, those that were here in this place some 35 years ago, how truth and love was increased. This meeting was given such an increase in the power of that. We experienced as a meeting through our precious pastor, a buffeting. Amen. Praise God. Your precious pastor has thorns too. Oh, yes, I do. And God's using them. But I thank the Lord how the Lord used that buffeting. That there was no other way. And we benefit still today from the riches of that buffeting. See, without those things, brothers and sisters, Paul said he would be lifted up. Did you hear what he said? Lest I should be exalted above measure. Huh? You read that there. And then he said back there in verse 6, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. I'm so thankful that you hear from me by the power of his might. You talk about the things you hear. But I thank God that because of the thorns, and you may not even really see them, but because of the faithfulness of God in the body that we belong to, you know them. And you don't exalt me above measure. No. That's the grace of God that is with us. How many places have gone after a man? I believe there was a time in this place that the Lord knew, because it's our nature. And God in his faithfulness said, that's not going to happen. That's not my way. Peter, if this didn't happen to Peter, he never could have been that incredible disciple. He never could have been. Peter would have been magnified so much in Peter's mind and everybody else's mind, because that was the one that sacrificed all the way to the cross with Jesus. I don't read a one. He went to that cross alone. And the Father made sure, my son will be alone. And only he will be magnified. Isn't he wondrously faithful? He's faithful. And he's faithful to his truth in us. That his son and his son alone only be magnified. We rejoice together today, don't we? As we come in here and we wear these wonderful crowns that he's given us. Because of his faithfulness. His precious truth that he's caused us to love and adore and to pant after, and that there isn't anything that can compare. He's brought us in. We have a single eye in what we see. There's nothing else. There's no other way. If by any means I might attain to that resurrection. There isn't any other one I want, is there, sister? None. All them other counterfeits, second place, third place, the enemy wants to give you any place but first place. I want to win. And God, by his grace and this wonderful word that we look into, he is the one that is exalted. See, we would know immediately if any person was being exalted in here. That's not of God. That's not of God. We're here as his body to magnify the head. And the head alone. To esteem him in everything. To thank him for all the revelation. Praise God that he brings. How wondrous. The truth's never changed. But think of what we're seeing in the beautiful truth that he's given us. I mean, walking in glory every time the word is preached in here. Taught in here. Praise be to God, but that's what he does. And you just look to him to do it. I mean, literally on Wednesday night, man, I'm walking through that tabernacle, but it ain't out in a desert. I'm talking about walking in it in type and shadow of where I'm walking into that midst of that throne glory with him. Amen. And I see your face is framed on every one of them gold pictures. If you don't understand that, you get back in there and listen. They even got the pictures of those things on the website now. All right now. In his faithfulness, he's afflicted us. You're okay. Look into that word. We're on a ship. It's a rough sea. You hear it coming apart. Waves 10 times over that ship look like they're going to just swallow it down. You look into him. And you know where he's at. He's in the belly of the ship. He's not out there standing on there. Well, I think it's going to be all right. You get down in the belly. Let all the stuff go on around you. And you look into him. And I'm not talking about the ship of this world and the things going on. I'm talking about this ship and that ship and that ship. That you don't understand why things keep going on like a shipwreck. I'm going to ask you the one indicator every life here. Are you in the truth? Do you love this gospel with all your heart, soul, and might? Shipwrecks win, not shipwrecks of faith. Do you understand why you're injured so, honeys? I mean, I really. The Holy Spirit's got the pace of this one today. And it's got to soak in. It's got to soak. And I'm soaking. Hope you are too. But brothers and sisters, God help us to rise out of self-pity and self-doubt. There's one called self-loathing. That means the hate of yourself. Been many a times I've hated myself. And instead look into the promise of the Word of God that the Lord is the one that brings the trying events and the tests. And especially what we're talking about today, the thorns. Let me tell you something. Paul was not young in the truth when he was testifying of this. He wasn't. He knew this bridal truth. He knew this walk. He knew what trials were. He knew what tests were. But there was something that was going on in Paul that he wanted to get rid of. And it wasn't a skin condition. And it wasn't better vision. And I'm going to tell you something. I stand assured on that one. Because that brother said, in all manners, you're going to be tested like me. Yes, he did. And I know my tests. And I sure love this brother even more. Because if he won with test like me, I can win too. Oh, praise God, praise God. See, he loves us so perfectly, brothers and sisters, that without those thorns, we would never be ready. You would never be listening for the bridegroom's voice. And we hear him together when we come in here, don't we? We're a bunch of glorious thorns singing. You know that thrush, you've heard that story about that bird that sings sweeter and more beautiful than any bird there could ever be. That bird can't sing unless it's pushed up against that thorn. That thing you want to take away, if it went away, you wouldn't be singing the bridal song. You wouldn't have that. This is something to rejoice in, to thank Him for, but you're going to continue to fight in it. Because that fight is always through the Word, in prayer, on my knee. Lord, I need You. I need Your help. I don't want to be consumed by it, Lord God. It's the beauty of my life. I don't want to enter fully in it. I know it's there, but it doesn't have me. It's not who I am in Christ. But thanks be to God, it's helping me make me who I am in Christ. Without that revelation of His mercy and His grace, praise God, in the need that I have for Him, I would never see the glory that I share because of the grace and mercy of God. He loves us so perfectly, brothers and sisters. Oh, hallelujah. I'm rejoicing in my infirmities like never before. I thank God I am so wonderfully and perfectly made for Jesus. Perfectly and wonderfully and fearfully made for His grace and His mercy. I've heard it said about me, wow, that brother must really have some things going on because he sure talks a lot about mercy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing I want you clothed in, and that's the riches of His glory, honey. I mean the riches of His glory. The riches of His glory. The riches of His glory. Oh, hallelujah. And it's only going to come that we recognize what a vessel of mercy that we are. What I am. That I am only by the grace of God that is with me. Amen. Thank You, Lord. I thank God for this revelation. But it's not because of my diligence. It's not because of my goodness. I thank the Lord. I need to be in the Word of God to protect me. I need to be in the Word of God as a pastor, I'm telling you, to occupy me. You don't want me in anything but the Word of God for your life and for my life. Yeah, I am that weak. But I'll tell you one thing, I thank God. I want to be just like that precious woman with that alabaster box. She was full of infirmity. The self-righteous were upon her and knocking her down right there in the presence of the Lord. And I'm sure in her mind too, like my mind often goes, that self-righteousness that sometimes comes in to condemn my ways. But I'll tell you what, Stephen, I ain't leaving them feet. I'm anointing him, brother, with glory at his feet. Anoint him. I find these things that I want to get rid of. He tells me, oh, honey, without them, I'd never love you like I do. I made you to need me, honey. I made you to need me and to want me. And to pant. To come after me. And I love how he finally said, so who's going to be rewarded the most in heaven? The one that's forgiven the most. Now, I'm going to tell you something I know that he can't remember, and I know he's already forgiven me. But there's something about my infirmities that continue on as I'm there at his feet. There's a reminder all the time. I'm rich in my Savior. As rich as can be. Because he said, she hath loved much. I love him for forgiving me. I love him for forgiving me. Let's pray. Yes, amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name today that we are so tenderly loved. Lord, we cannot ever express adequately the thankfulness of how your word so comforts us. Lord, knowing how beautiful is this treasure that's in the earthen vessel, that only you could put in this earthen vessel. Lord, thank you again that you're showing us. There wasn't much to see on the outward appearance of that tabernacle. It was just a tattered badger skin, weathered, beaten, stretched. No beauty to behold. But just like you, Jesus, thank you for Christ in us, the hope of glory. The riches of eternity is placed in sitting in each and every one of these vessels here today. Help us to rise up and to fully praise you. And yes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And thank you, Jesus, you've put in us the exceeding riches of all eternity. For you, for you, for you, for you. The inheritance of God the Father. Praise God. And that vault is just about ready to be opened. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.